just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus to every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire.
Jesus, oh,
the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We speak your name. And Lord, oh God, at the proclamation of your name, every knee bows, every tongue confesses your Lordship. So we speak your name over every circumstance this very moment. And we declare by the authority of your word that by the speaking of the name that's above every other name, that whatever that issue is, those circumstances now bow and move out of the way. For Lord God, we surrender not our will, not our thoughts, not our minds, or our bodies to circumstances that it might reign in us, but rather we surrender ourselves to your Lordship. For you, O God, have possessed us. And because you reign supremely in us and through us, when we speak your name, because we are subject to the authority of your name, everything else bows to our words spoken, to our presence, in our going out and in our coming in. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord this day that the Lord Almighty has made. Amen. Well, tonight I am going to do some recap on what we've been talking about concerning the church. But I'm going to start from a very interesting place, found in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 97 and verse 11. Psalm 97 and verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. And you may wonder, what does that have to do with the church? Well, the church, when God birthed us as the church, as a family of God, the Word of God says that He is the Father of lights. And if He is the Father of lights, then He is the God who birthed us. Amen? The Word of God says, of His own will, He begat us. Of His own will, He begat us. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the light of the world. And then He goes on and He says, you and I are the light of the world. Praise the Lord. And as light, we are meant to disperse, or rather to scatter or eradicate darkness. That is one of our primary assignments, to shine as light in a world that is full of darkness. The Word of God says, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. Light is very directly connected to us as God's people. And what the enemy would like to do is not necessarily to turn off our light, but to cause us to be dim and not bright by causing issues or circumstances to veil or hide the intensity of our light. I have glasses here that I have on, and one of my grandson asked me the other day, he said, "Why are you wearing shades?" I said, "I'm not wearing shades." He said, "But your glasses are dark." I said, "Well, these glasses have a mechanism attached to it that changes. When I go into the light and I'm outside, it becomes a shade. When I come inside and I'm inside for a while, it becomes clear." Oh, that's interesting. Well, what the enemy does is the same. He'll like to shade your light. When you go home tonight, you might have table lamps, and those table lamps may have something called a shade. And it causes the light not to just spread all over the place. Now, the enemy has a way to try to shut down our light. Now, what and how does our light function? It functions in two ways. It's a light that shines outside that impacts other people, but it's a light that shines within. The Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, I'd like you to come there with me just for a moment. I'll come back to this passage in Psalm 97. Jesus sees a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, there's a work that God wants to do that needs to be manifested, exposed in him. And then he goes on and he tells us, he says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can," what? "Work." He goes on and he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And verse 6 says, when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay and the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Look at verse 5 again. The Bible says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So when he is not in the world, he is not the light of the world. So then who becomes the light of the world? Those that he is in. We become the light of the world. And what is the one who is the light of the world doing? Verse 6, he says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and tells him to go wash his face in the pool called Sent. In the pool called what? Sent. So when he goes to the pool called Sent, Siloam, he washes his face and comes back seeing. So his ability to see was based on the fact that he obeyed the instruction that was given to him to the place called Sent. The man was sent to Sent. Hello? Are we together? The man was sent to what? To Sent. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He sent us to the world so that we can come back seeing clearly. Now, in John 11, we read this story. And I want you to hear this. Gospel of John 11, His friend Lazarus is dead. The Bible says now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with his ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Similar statement that he made about the glory of God being made manifest, or the power of God being made manifest in that blind man. God is going to glorify himself in this particular situation. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and her sister and Lazarus. 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. 7, then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. 8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You're going back to that place where they tried to stone you? Jesus answered, and I want you to read this with me. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Praise the Lord. Now, read verse 10 with me. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no what? Light where? In him. So there is light outside and there's light inside. And the reason you stumble is not because of the light outside, it's because of the lack of light on the inside. Do you get the point? So we have to have light. So what does Psalm 97 say to us then? It says to us in Psalm 97 and verse 11, light is sown for the righteous. God sows light for the righteous. The righteous already has light in him. But God says, I'm going to sow light. This is an extra. Praise the Lord. This is an extra. This is a bonus factor, so that you don't have any reason at any time to stumble through life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, what is this light? It is that innate aspect of us that is connected to God. It is part of our spiritual DNA. That when you and I come around, we come as bright, burning light. Which means that wherever we go, darkness has to be pushed away. If I did something right now, and I asked for all of the lights in this place to be shut off. Actually, I would like to do that. Can you shut all the lights? All the lights. Every single one of them. The ones, everyone. All the lights. All the lights. All the light. Now, what do you see? If I shut this one off, it is hard to see me. Turn them back on. This external light illuminates me. When that light came on, darkness left. I'm still in the same room. What is the difference? The difference is the light. Now, something happened when those lights went off. Something crazy started happening to that camera. The camera started, the aperture began to open because it wants to get light. It wants light so that it can show what it does. If you are a believer and God has given you a particular role in life to play in His church, and darkness is around you and you are not opening up so that you can do what you're called to do, you've got problems. Because even the camera knows to open up its aperture. And you're a believer and things are dark around you and you're not opening up to gather more light, pull in more light so that you can show what it is that needs to be shown, you've got issues. And that's what's happening to the church. The church is not opening up to match up with the issues that the world is facing right now. We are burying our heads in the sand and not becoming what God says we are. The people of God, called by God, chosen by God, children of light. Give me the passage in James 2, where it says that He is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Shadows are possible when the light is not able to penetrate right through. If you have clear glass and light can go through that glass, you will not have shadows because there is nothing blocking that light. The light just flows right through. God has no shadows in Him. And there's no twisting about Him. He is totally full of light. And He calls you and I to be full of light. Now, why are there shadows? Because there are objects that are blocking the light. So, because of the edges that are in this particular frame, I have lines or shadows because of that. But guess what? I have no shadows on the open spots. These are not creating shadows because the light is shining right through it. But where there is division, division, I have shadows right here. They are lines showing that something is blocking the free flow. But the Word of God says, watch this, every good gift, someone say it with me, every good gift. Say it again, every good gift and every perfect gift. Not only good, but they are perfect gifts, is from above. For that which is born from above is above all. Gospel of John chapter 3, about the born again experience. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 18, of His own will, of His own will, of His own will, begat He us with the word of what? Truth. The word of truth. That's how God birthed us. There are people sitting in church that are not born again because they did not hear the truth of the word of God. They made some kind of confession, but they have not made the connection of truth. I was in the nation many years ago, great church, 20-something, 30,000 people in the congregation and I taught the word of God, talked about the born again experience and what it means for us to live this new life, and I did an altar call, and there were thousands of people that rushed over to be saved. And I was doing an interview with this young man. Maybe one of these days we'll show you a clip of it. I think we've done it before in the past. And this guy was a doctor, and he was saying, I was shocked when I saw these people coming to be saved. I thought they were all saved already, but they came to be saved. And he said, I think maybe they heard the truth and became aware, maybe I wasn't saved before, because I'm not showing the lifestyle of somebody who has come to salvation. Of his own will begat he us. Now, verse 17 says, I want to go back there. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And the first thing most believers think is, oh, that good gift and that perfect gift is my limousine, my Rolls Royce, my Lamborghini, my 20,000 square foot house, my beautiful wife, my handsome, cute husband, my whatever. And you think in terms of things. But it's not. That good gift, that perfect gift, is the one that God gave birth to. You're looking at me, bug-eyed. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You are that good and that perfect gift, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruit of what creatures? Those that are raised back from the dead. God sowed light. God sowed light for the upright. He sowed light. What light? The light of who Jesus is. So that we can be born again as light. Just like you put the seed of tomatoes in the ground and you have a tomato plant, not an orange. So God sowed light, he being the light, he sowed it so that you and I can be raised up upright as light. Do you get the point? We are that good and perfect gift. Will you dare say it right now? I am God's good and perfect gift. He is the Father of lights. Therefore, I must be light. You get the point? If he's the Father of lights, he gave birth to light. And I'm the light. And the light of God is good and it is perfect. And it doesn't have any variableness nor shadow of turning. Why? It is not and has not allowed any cracks, no bitterness, no strife, no confusion, no hindrance and resistance to the will of God. And the people of God do not resist the will of God. They allow God to flow in them and through them. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody might be asking, are we still talking about the church? Yes, we've not left the subject. Because ultimately, the light of God that shines through you starts from within. It starts from within. Just as light penetrates and destroys the presence of darkness, so also the light of God flows through us. If you went and you were, you had some kind of an ailment, and they took you to an MRI, whatever stuff, or an X-ray, or whatever, and they shoot light through you, they will find those areas. If there's a lump anywhere in your body, they'll find it because that lump is resisting the flow of light. Yeah? And you say, something is wrong here. This does not belong here. This thing here does not belong. It's abnormal. Let's go and do some more in-depth research or tests to determine what is in that place. True or not? Light. Light exposes. But there is no hindrance in God. Because all God has towards you and towards me is His love. And what did we read this morning? Love believeth all things. Yes? So, watch this now. Watch this. Love is God. And if love believeth all things, then if you tell God, God, I am sick, God will agree with you. He believes that you are sick. I am broke. God says, oh, yes, you are. I cannot doubt what you say. You said you're broke, so you must be broke. So what does he say for us to say? He says, let the weak say what? I'm strong. God doesn't want you to speak that which is not his truth. I am strong. And when you declare, I am strong, the strength of God comes right through you, empowers you. I am walking in divine health. The health of God flows through you. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ comes through. If you're going about saying, I'm confused, I'm messed up, God will agree with you. For the word of God says in the book of Numbers, as you have spoken to my hearing, so will I do to you. You say, our church is not good. God will say, yeah, that's right, your church is not good. But if you say, we have the greatest church in town and I'm excited about it, God says, I agree with you. I agree with you. You've got the greatest church. Now, when you're saying that, your words begin to determine how you carry yourself. Because if we're the greatest church, then we've got to act graciously and walk greatly. Amen? We are aligning ourselves with the words that we speak. You say, but if we've got issues, we've got issues. The Lord says, if you have God's kind of faith, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So we say what God's will is, because God has a will in heaven. I have bad children. Yes, God will say, yes, you got, yeah, bad children. Yes, you got. My marriage is terrible. God will say, yeah, your marriage is terrible. Why? Because God is love, and love believeth all things. Say, Pastor, that's a little bit extreme, don't you think? No. He already told you, as you spoke from your mouth, that's exactly what it's going to do to you. If you see yourself as a grasshopper, you'll be like a grasshopper to everybody out there. If you see yourself as that good and perfect gift that came from above, then you understand God has made me a gift to bring to you. I'm a gift to you. And I will boldly serve you with this gift that is the best. Because I came with this grace upon my life just to minister to you. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter where they place you. You know, there might be some very well-known man of God, you know, on the stage. In fact, many of them that are so gifted, and they call you, you know, Pee Wee Herman to come preach while these guys are there, and you're there shaking. Oh, God, what if I mess up? No, no, you come there and say, I have the platform, and I have a word from the Lord that I'm going to speak today. And you speak it, even if it lasted for 5 minutes, it is what God has graced you to do that very moment. You don't go there weak and messed up because you're comparing yourself with somebody else. When I call one of our sons in this house or a daughter to come and stand behind here and minister the word, if I see that nonsense, oh, apostle is here, I'll just walk up and say, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You've not qualified yourself because you were trying to compare what you're trying to say with what will he say, and is it good enough? It is good enough when God has commissioned you. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying there are gifts inside of you that I need in my life. And there are gifts inside of me that you need in your life. And you have no right to block it with your bitterness, with your strife, with your confusion, with your sense of, I am not good enough. Because when you do that, I don't get the full impact of the grace that God has placed in your life. And the world is waiting for men and women that will bring to the table what God has given to them. We all have different gifts, different abilities, different callings. And God needs you to play your part. And this body needs you to play your part. There is somebody that God has assigned to you to reach out to. Somebody that you are well able to communicate with. There are people that I may never reach. But you can. You've been there. You know exactly what is happening with them. You know how to reach them. Jesus met a woman in John chapter 4. And asked this woman for water to drink. In fact, the passage in John chapter 4 starts out with the statement that Jesus had need to go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Why does it say that? Were there other ways to go to where he was going? Absolutely. But he made a detour to go through Samaria just to go reach this woman. And when he reached this woman, Jesus did not go into the town. When he reached this woman reached her community. And they all came out to hear Jesus based on her testimony. What was her testimony? I found somebody who knows everything about me. but still loves me. Huh? Somebody, some guy spent time talking to you and didn't have any ulterior motives. Yeah. Let's go see this guy that did not fall to the trap of your beauty or whatever. Let's go see this guy. And they came and they heard Jesus and said, well, it's not just because of what you said. We heard him ourselves. She used what she had. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? Everything God has gifted you with is a hook. Everything that God has gifted you with is a hook to bring people to the Lord. Everything. Everything, everything that God has given to you is a hook. Use it. Because God birthed you good and perfect. So you have no business going about saying, I'm not perfect. No, no. You go about saying, I am good and I'm perfect. How dare you say such a thing? Well, God says I'm good and perfect, so I'm saying what God said. Oh, you must be some arrogant fool. Well, I am wise. It is the fool who says there is no God. But because I believe what God said rather than what I feel, I align myself with his will, with his word, and therefore I am what God says. So what does God's word say? In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read first of all verse 4, and I'm going to skip up to about verse 15. We read this from the book of Corinthians earlier today, from 1 Corinthians 12. He says in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Let's go on. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Same God, not different gods. Same God is in you all, is walking through you all. He is above all. That's why that the person who's born of God is above all. Because God is in you. And therefore God has given you a voice, given you a platform to recognize that you are importance, and you are representing him in the earth. Hallelujah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the grace of the measure of Christ. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us has been given grace, an enablement, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is the measure of the gift of Christ? Jesus Christ went all the way. Fullness. So whatever God gave to you and gave to me is a fullness. Not 10%, not 20%, not 30%. 100% of the gift of Christ, which is the gift of the deliverer, the gift of the Messiah, the gift of the one who came to serve the Father's purpose. Let's go on. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. In the Psalms he says, even to the rebellious. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He went to the lowest parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he went to the lowest level and to the highest level, and fills from the lowest to the highest. And gave, because he has occupied every space, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. He goes on, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting there has to do with the word furnishing, to furnish us. The word is katatismos. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave me a grace to furnish you so that you can do the work of the ministry. In a few days, I'm going to be in a nation. When I get there, we're going to have this mass New Life Festival, we're calling it. But even before I got into the country, another son of mine calls me and says, God spoke to us, didn't know about me coming at all, didn't know. I had no idea I was coming into the country. There are bishops that we need ordained and pastors that we need ordained. God says that you are the one assigned to anoint them and to send them forth. And he gave me the date. I said, I can't come then. I'm coming to the country on such and such a date. And I'll let you know. He says, we are changing the date. Hallelujah. So I arrive the country, and a few hours after arriving, I'm going to be doing an ordination service. Why? To anoint these men and these women of God to go forth, and what are they called to do? Disciple. Doing what we've been talking about. Raise up other sons and daughters so that whole nation is blanketed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the last few days, a vision that the Lord showed to me some 20, maybe 30 years ago, keeps on flashing in my mind. And even as I'm talking to you right now, I see the vision. This vision happened actually in Brandon. At that time, Pastor Henry was in Brandon. He was pastoring with Pastor Choice. They were pastoring there, and we'd gone to visit, and we had a night vigil. It was just impromptu. And we just stayed, just praying and worshiping till the wee hours of the morning. And while we're doing that, I see this vision. The arrows been shot. There was this dark, thick cloud. And we were shooting these arrows and shooting, you know, I could see as I was praying, batteries of fiery darts being shot into this thing. And it looked like nothing was happening. It looked like I was wasting my time. Then I saw the Lord. And that sky that was so dark looked like some little small box in the presence of the Lord. And he just dipped his finger in it, and everything was scattered, gone. So I said, Lord, I was praying and I saw the arrows going and going and going and nothing happened. And you come and you just dip your hand there and everything is gone. He said, son, you had part of it. I said, what did I do? He said, see those arrows that you were shooting? I said, yeah. He said, they were just poking holes all over the place. So when I come, I just did this and it's all gone. I say, huh? And I believe the same thing is happening. No matter what we are going through, whatever it is God has assigned for you to do, just keep on doing it because you are cooperating with heaven. Hallelujah. So that when he comes, it's done. 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 You were involved, and God wants you to know that you are an active participant in whatever it is he wants done. Praise the Lord. I know I've been speaking for a while, but just bear with me. Let's keep on going. Let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Actually, why am I skipping? Go back to verse 13. Till we all come. The purpose of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, is to bring us to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. God gave birth to us as good and perfect gifts, but we may have wrinkles. And the ministry gifts are there to help remove those rough spots inside of us. So when I'm talking and you're getting upset sometimes, why is he poking at me like that? Who told him about me? Well, that's God trying to strip you of those blockages. Removing those things. So that you can come to that perfect man that God already declares that you are. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to grow up to become the full stature of who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. How is this going to happen? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro like children, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And watch this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Let's put it this way. Let's assume that you are one joint and there's one piece, and this person over here is another piece, and you throw a rope to this person and this person throws a rope to you, and both of you pull at the rope that is thrown to each other. Guess what happens? You come closer. You get the point? And that's what it is. When you are serving me and I'm serving you, it is, and I receive what you give to me and you receive what I give to you, we get closer. If you don't receive what I give to you, it doesn't matter whether we're close, we will not be compacted. The compaction happens because we are pulling on each other from that which we receive. We celebrate in each other with thanksgiving. I celebrate the gift that you are to me. I celebrate Brother James for the gift that he is to my life. Praise the Lord. I celebrate Brother Paul for the gift that he is to my life. I celebrate Brother Byron. I celebrate Brother West. I celebrate everyone based on what they bring to my life. You bring something to my life, I celebrate that. I receive it with thanksgiving. And it says, by that which every joint supplieth. according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working in the measure of every part, meaning that every part, you be the best you, to bring the best you to my life. That I come and bring the best to you. That I don't come here and start speaking some gibberish nonsense that means nothing, that will not change you, that will not change me. And there's lots of that that goes around. You know, sometimes I listen to some people and I wonder, what was that? What was the message there? What point was I supposed to get out of that? I saw a lot of flash, but there was nothing that was told me that will impact me or change me in any way. Nothing that challenged me. But somebody can come here, might have been Christian for 6 months, and they come here and they start sharing something, and it will touch me. I say, wow, I received that. I received that. I received that. That came from a pure heart. Every one of us needs to come and bring our best. Hallelujah. Make it, this is how increase happens. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Make it increase unto the edifying of itself. The building up of itself in love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 25. Let me skip some verses, read the rest of the verses. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, let's stop lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be truthful. For we are members one of another. Hallelujah. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let me ask you a question. What does it say the reason for work is? What does it say? Why do you work? To what? Be bold. To give. Praise the Lord. We work so that we can give. Because that is part of your spiritual DNA as light. You are a giver. You don't have light and hide it. God calls you to give. You know, this body, in this natural realm, is alive because of the blood. Scientists tell us the one thing that mimics light, I don't know the full details of it, but the one thing that mimics light is your blood. So when you and I are transformed, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he did not have blood. He had the fullness of light. Praise God. And that's exactly what God is transforming you to. A manifestation of light. When we are changed in the twinkling of an eye, we become a manifestation of the light of God. They tell us that when a woman gets pregnant, the very moment the woman gets pregnant, the one thing that happens is that there's a burst of light. Yeah. scientifically, if they're looking at the woman and looking at the system, when there is pregnancy, pow, light. You were born in light. You are light. Therefore, wherever you go, get rid of the darkness. If there's a problem, be the solution. That's how you're light. Amen? That's how you're light. You are the solution. You are a problem solver. The problem is the darkness. The solution is light breaking through the darkness and eradicating the darkness. I challenge every one of us here today and everybody listening to me all around the world this very moment, be that light that's a problem solver. Don't become the part of the problem. Be the solution in Jesus' name. How do you do that? Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. 2-3 more verses, and I'm going to pray with you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve this Holy Spirit? When we resist the Spirit of God, when we quench the Spirit of God. What did the Spirit of God first do? The Spirit of God came upon the waters in that fullness of darkness. It brooded upon it and prepared it for the word to be spoken. Because before anything happens in the spirit realm and in the natural, there's got to be the presence of the Spirit of God first. In fact, when you think about the word in spirit action, inspiration, it's in spirit then action. And the first thing that you and I need to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate. Before Jesus, our Lord, went out to do any ministry, the Spirit of God had to rest upon him. Before he was born, the Spirit of God came over a virgin called Mary. And that which was found in her was the Word of God, Jesus himself. And this church must invite the presence of the Holy Spirit like never before. And then Jesus said, you go stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. And when the Spirit of God comes, you shall then become witnesses unto me. You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, you'll be witnesses in Judea, you'll be witnesses in Samaria, you'll be witnesses unto the utmost parts of the world. We need an invasion of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a spirit that seals us unto the day of redemption. It seals us and makes certain that we are not trapped by the enemy. It says then, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of all that nonsense, that foolishness, and be a kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You want to be forgiven? Forgive just like Christ forgave you, just like the Father forgave you for Christ's sake, because of what Jesus did. I forgive you. I do not accept or tolerate the foolishness, but I forgive you. I will go on and on and on and abide in the love of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to pray for everyone here. I'm going to lay hands on everyone here. I'm going to release those that are online in just a moment. But everyone that is in here, I'm going to pray that the grace of God inside of you, that you will not hold it back, but that you will release it and give to God your life, and in the process, impact others. Don't ever think, I don't have anything to give. It's a lie from the depths of hell. It's a big, big, fat lie. That's the devil trying to convince you to resist the will of God, not to believe that God gave birth to you from above. And those that are born from above become his ambassadors. And guess what? Ambassadors don't have their own struggles, you know, working to take care of the embassy in terms of resourcing it and providing for it. The ambassador is provided for by his home government. His vehicle becomes that government, that nation that he represents. When you're an ambassador, because you're a winner of souls, your life becomes the kingdom of God. And guess what? Anybody who attacks a national embassy has declared war against the nation that that embassy is representing. Hello? Are you with me? You say, where is this ambassador thing coming from? The Word of God says you were born from above. You were not born here. You were born from above, from the kingdom of God, and you were sent here to the earth. You say, but I was in Winnipeg when I said Jesus is Lord. Yes, that's what you think. But God, faster than you can imagine, birthed you. And now says, this is my representative. I tell you something else. You know, the ambassador of the United States in Canada is not just protected by the American government, but the Canadian government has to protect that ambassador to make sure that nobody messes with that ambassador, because messing with that ambassador means there's going to be war and conflict with the United States. So guess what? When you are an ambassador of God, because you are letting the gifts of God flow through you, the devil knows not to mess with you. Because messing with you is messing with God. You are the apple of his eyes. That's like me trying to poke fingers in your eyes. You think I'm going to let that happen? I'm going to sucker punch you right away and repent later. My eyes are my eyes. I'm going to uppercut you. You're like, pow! Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You want to go poke fingers in God's eyes? God will punch your lights out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So the best thing you and I can do is to serve God. And we serve God by serving each other, because God is in every one of us. And so when I serve you, I'm serving God. Oh. Is somebody listening? That's right. So let's do a good job at serving each other. Because, you see, this, what we've been doing this last hour or so, is having a service. Is that what we call it? We went to a service. What happened in the service? Oh, there was a pastor there, he was preaching. Well, I was serving you, that's why. But now you two have to serve me to make my life easier. And that's why we're going to give in just a moment to make sure Pastor doesn't, you know, have wrinkles and spots and pulling his hair out. How are we going to pay the bills? We are serving each other. Will you agree? Amen. Praise the Lord. And because we have, we are able to give, minister to the needs of others. Because, first of all, God's word says we have to take care of people, especially, first and foremost, those who are of the household of faith. Then we can serve others. And if we are not able to serve others, then we don't have enough resources. But those resources are available. Every single person here, if you give your best and I give my best, there's no way we'll ever have any kind of lack. It will never happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you receive this word? Amen. God is good. Awesome. All right. Well, let us honor God with our giving. And while you're coming to release your offering, it's an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. I bless those that are listening online. I speak a release of God's grace into your life. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that God will uphold you and that the gifts and abilities that God has given to you, that you will this day begin to release them. I release an anointing upon your life that you will begin to serve faithfully where God has placed you, and that lives will be impacted in that corner where God has commissioned you. Light up the corner where God has placed you. Cause the light to shine brightly and let the darkness be removed. In Jesus' mighty name, I bless you in his name. God bless you. I love you. And good night. Make sure you give a special offering tonight to celebrate the goodness of God. Hallelujah.